Hello, and welcome to the first ever edition of the Ralphie Report Radio. This is our first ever podcast, and it will become a series that we do every week on Thursday. Myself, John Woods, Bob Bell is here as well, and in the future we'll have all sorts of special guests come and join us. Today we're going to talk about a few different things. We're going to start with kind of a wrap-up of fall camp, look at some positives and some negatives, and kind of talk about where we think the Buffaloes are after this first John Embree fall camp. Then this week we're really going to kind of look at the season as a whole. We're going to talk about predictions on the season, where the Buffs going to end up, what are going to be the MVPs of the year, offensive and defensive. And we'll break down the schedule. We'll talk about where we see wins and where we see losses. Hopefully a lot more wins than losses. Finally, we'll wrap up with kind of a more national perspective. Look at the college football season as a whole. Where should teams be ranked? Who are the sleepers? Who are the teams that are possibly a little bit overrated? And then we'll wrap it up. This one might be a little bit short this week. So, Bob, let's go ahead and start with you. Fall camp, what do you think?
I think... it was productive in a lot of ways. You look at where we are today. There's two guys who are listed on the injury report, Jared Bell and Sean Daniels. Bell's out for the year with an ACL injury. But, two guys being injured in camp so far, we've seen a lot worse in the Dan Hawkins years. And, you look at the depth chart right now, everybody's reasonably healthy. You put the people where you wanted them. If you had at the beginning of the year, where would you see people fitting? I think the depth chart fits pretty well to that. So, the good news for Embree is he's got a solid team around him, I believe, for what's out there. Not a lot of injuries, and there's definitely some senior leadership out there as well. And what an interesting part of this camp has been, a lot of the freshmen coming to the top of the depth charts. And I think that's going to be interesting that first week against Hawaii. But, so far as a Buff fan, I don't think you can complain.
And, you brought up an interesting point. And first of all, if someone does get injured before the season starts, this podcast will mysteriously disappear. But a good point about the freshmen, watching the other programs, you look at an Alabama, Oklahoma, Texas before their flop last year, but you see true freshmen play. You see those young guys play, guys that are the better players, see the field whether they're true freshmen or not. And not going back and kind of trying to think of any specifics, but I feel like there's a lot more guys that earn playing time off of their performance than we have seen in the past few years. So I agree that that's a great thing to see.
Yep.
We're going to start here quickly with the special teams. It's kind of, especially on the Ralphie Report, it's been a topic of heavy debate. We've had kind of battles for both the kicker and the punter positions, with the punter going well into fall camp. But it's good and bad. We've got our guys. They're named. We know who's going to be kicking, and it'll continue to be a battle throughout the season. But unless there's some subpar performances, I think we're going to see these guys be our specialists for a long, long time. That's good. It's not good that they're true freshmen. These guys have basically only performed in practice. We haven't seen how they're going to handle seeing the field. And I do feel somewhat for Justin Caster burning his red shirt last year and having the kick not really go his way. But that's exactly what we could see with these new guys. Obviously, they're getting a lot more opportunities than the one that Justin got. But, I feel like we have to be a little bit apprehensive about having such an important part of our team be left up to guys who haven't seen the field yet. That being said, I've got a lot of faith, and I have faith in the coaching staff putting talent on the field. I'm going to be a little nervous if it comes down to a field goal to win the game. What about you, Bob?
No, you're absolutely right. I think, as Buff fans, we become gun-shy about special teams because of what's happened in the last 4 or 5 years. And, it's very reasonable to be gun-shy and to worry about this. And, the best thing I can think of is John Embree's a no-nonsense guy. All the coaches seem no-nonsense. They put pressure on these kids, but they've also rewarded them. They've made it a competition. I think they've listened to prior experiences with players, how they've become, their legs have become tired because they're overkicked. So I think they've made the right adjustments in camp to make it work. And you know what? Like you said earlier, I applaud Embree for putting players on the field that won the job. And I think he made that very clear early on that you know, if you want to win the job, you can have it. And I think these guys have won the job. And I saw Will Oliver kicking a few scrimmages this fall, and he did a great job. So, you know, I think when you look at the production on the field and on the practice field, those were the two right guys to pick, and hopefully they prove him right. If not, you know, you got two guys, I think, who can potentially fill in for him. So, you know, that's at least good. And like you said, I don't think there's going to be a lot of stubborn coaching going on this year. I think it's going to be strictly, hey, you do the job or you're out, which is great to hear as a fan.
You know, you just brought up a really good point that I haven't thought about and I don't know the answer to, and you may not know the answer to. But what do we know of John Embree's kind of philosophy on special teams? Who he's going to put out there on the coverage units and who he's going to put out there on the return units? I know some teams will put the best player no matter what out there. Some teams will put the younger, kind of less experienced guys that have more of the athletic talent. Bob, you know, I really don't know. Have you heard anything about how he's going to handle that?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, from the practices I saw, you know, they didn't really do a lot of kickoff coverage. But, you know, I think a directional guess on that is you have Paul Richardson and Rodney Stewart returning punts. And so when you look at that and you say those are two guys who can't get injured, those are your two best playmakers on offense, and they're back there returning punts, something tells me he's going to go all out on special teams, whether it's, you know, risking a player. You know, he realizes the importance of special teams, and I think, you know, you can see his, you know, his dedication to that in practice, and, you know, all along he's made that a point of emphasis. So, you know, the fact that those two guys are back there, you know, it's tells me something about how he's going to approach it.
And I think that's a good point, and we'll get into this much later. Looking at kind of the Pac-12 when I did my rankings, you know, there's so much talk about, you know, the Oregons and the Stanfords. But after that, especially taking USC out of the equation, it really does turn into a lot of teams that are pretty darn evenly matched. And you know what? Special teams is going to play a big part in a lot of those games. There's going to be a lot of close games this season, and having a special teams that can make the difference is going to be huge.
Yeah, I agree, and I think special teams and winning on the road, the X factor that maybe Embree brings to the table, Embree and Bienemy bring to the table about, you know, a little bit of the X factor, you know, unknowns, high-energy guys, you know, you never know. Like you said, there's a lot of unknowns in this conference right now except for those top few teams. So, you know, and, you know, moving on to the next topic, you know, quarterback play is, you know, something on, you know, my list of, you know, everybody's list of, you know, things to watch this year. And, you know, there's been enough talk about the distractions in the past and enough, you know, about the debate about Cody Hawkins or Tyler Hansen. There's no more debate anymore. Tyler Hansen's the starting quarterback for this year. Many wish he was around for another year, not getting his red shirt burned his freshman year. But that's in the past, and we'll try to move on as much as possible. But, you know, I think the big question on offense this year is the quarterback and Tyler Hansen. And, you know, for so long the Buffs have been very much lacking at the quarterback spot, and whether it's play calling, whether it's the offensive line, whether it's playmakers, or, you know, whether it's quarterback play, that the offense hasn't clicked. And, you know, when you're a quarterback, you get that blame gets put on you, you know, fair or not fair. And so, you know, a big question going into this, you know, this 2011 year is Tyler Hansen. And, you know, we've seen him do great things. We've seen him be, you know, a great quarterback. We saw this spring, you know, got me very excited. He went 18 of 19 in the spring practice. And, you know, people were talking about him a lot. You know, he has been a little bit shakier this fall. And that's the kind of inconsistency that, you know, we've seen out of Tyler the past few years. And one big thing we should look for this season is his interception to touchdown ratio. And that right now is not where you'd like it in this past 3 years. So, you know, as a senior, as a team leader, you know, he has the keys to the car. And, you know, unless he makes big jumps this year, this offense won't make big jumps. And you can't ride it all on Rodney Stewart. You can't ride it all on Tony Jones. You got to give the offensive line a chance to pass block, run block, and, you know, have that defense play both ways. So, you know, I think you're going to need Hansen to, you know, find a few other targets than Paul Richardson and get that connection. But, you know, ultimately this team will go the way Tyler Hansen goes. And, you know, we haven't seen enough in the past to think he's the guy yet. And so, you know, we'll know real early versus, you know, Hawaii. And this non-conference schedule will tell us a lot about Tyler Hansen and his preparation. So, you know, that's a big concern of mine. And I don't know, John, if you have anything else to add to that. But, you know, I think as when the offense takes the field, we're going to look a lot at Tyler Hansen and say, you know, how has he progressed over the 3 years to today?
So, if you, from what I've seen on the site, on the Ralphie Report, there are, and what, from talking to other Buffaloes fans, people are confident in Hansen in that, and no offense to Cody Hawkins, but in that there's a quarterback. We know who it's going to be.
Yep.
We know that he's not going to be switched out if he plays poorly, you know, outside of the extremes. But I also sense a kind of a trepidation, and some people just come out right out and say it and say, you know, I don't know if Tyler Hansen is that guy. I don't know if he can be that quarterback to lead this team to a bowl game or to contend in the Pac-12 South. I'm looking at his stats from last season right here just as a refresher. Colorado State, 192 yards, 68% completion percentage. 52% against California with 166 yards. We know how that game went. 73% against Hawaii, 200 yards. That was probably his best game. Georgia, 158 yards, 65% completion rate percentage, and he really drove that team to get back in the game. That was another game where he really showed what we hope we can see more consistently. But then the next week, Missouri, 117 yards, followed up by a 217-yard performance at Baylor where he threw 75%. So I haven't seen that consistency to make me really confident that he can definitely be that guy. And Bob, you as a, you know, someone who played quarterback a lot, and if there's one position that you can really watch and critique the play on the field, you know, be a betting guy. Is he going to be able to get it done this year? What have you seen? And are there games that you think back to or situations that you think back to where you say, yes, this is the guy that can get it done, or no, this isn't the guy that can get it done?
And one of my disclaimer line with all of the prior years is, it's hard to evaluate any players in the Hawkins system. It's just hard. For better or for worse, that's my line, that's what I stick to. You know, when I think about the Cal game, and, you know, Cal deployed a defense last year that was speed rushers. Let's just go at the quarterback in the pocket. We're going to take both of our ends, we're going to go tap the quarterback. The offense didn't adjust with that. They didn't roll Tyler out. They didn't get him outside the pocket, limiting that pass rush. So I think Tyler was put in situations that, you know, didn't fit his abilities last year. I don't think they moved him outside the pocket. I don't think they made him a playmaker like he is. When Cody Hawkins came into the game last year, sat him in the pocket. That's where he felt comfortable. He succeeded for a lot of his time out there. You know, the offense was catered towards Cody last year, and I don't think the offense was catered towards him. You know, when Tyler came on the scene when he was a freshman, Kansas State, I remember it very well. They took Tyler and they ran him all over the field. They used his legs. I hope they get Tyler outside the pocket this year and make plays with him. You know, I think that's the best way we can evaluate him. But you know, as a former quarterback and someone who has a little knowledge of the situation, I think the more experience you get, the better you are. And I think going into his fourth year, I think the experiences that he's had, the trials and tribulations, you know, not winning on the road, all the excuses out there, I think he's got some tough skin behind him. And hopefully that plays an important role, you know, through the season when, you know, the game's on the line, or it's a tough game versus Ohio State or USC or Cal. You know, all these things that are going to come down his way. So I think what he's battle-tested, let's put it that way. But when it comes down to quarterback play, there's a simple statistic that, you know, defines everybody. For his career, he has 15 touchdown passes to 17 interceptions. That can't happen this year, else the Buffs will be a 2-win team. That's plain and simple. They need better play out of him. They need to get the tight end involved. Bottom line, throw touchdowns, not interceptions. Pretty simple story.
And you and I both, after we commented after Media Day and then some other times we've interviewed some of the players, and without calling out any players or quotes, there was a feeling. There was a feeling of excitement, which there will be. But you know, looking back on the old offense and the old offensive schemes, I didn't get the sense, and I don't think you did either, that the players felt like that offense was consistent, like it was built, or like it was being built around the talent that the team had. So you're right. That it is kind of hard to look back at these stats and at these performances over the last few years. And you know what? Come next Saturday, we'll get our first look ourselves. Another position that has been talked about a lot this offseason, the cornerbacks. What are we going to get there, Bob?
Whew, your guess is as good as mine on that one. And, you know, the one saving grace I have in that position is, you know, I've seen guys go out there and battle for that spot. And that's all you can ask for as a player. And, again, I go back to the saying that you said, you know, OU plays Will Jefferson at, you know, safety. They bring these freshmen in, out there to play. And bottom line, you know, Gregory Henderson just came out there and destroyed things. And he flat out played bump and run coverage. He got in the defender's face, and he let people know right away that he was there to play. And again, Embry rewards people for that, and that's the guy you want battling for you. And I think his consistency and his physical play in practice, you know, got him the spot. You know, you look at, you know, Sandersfeld on the other side. He's more of a safety turned into a cornerback. That's a little concerning. You know, backing up Henderson is Parker Worms, who's been hurt. You know, Jared Bell's out. You got Deje out there on the other side as a backup. Bottom line, these guys have zero experience at the cornerback spot. You know, Deje played a little bit at the cornerback spot last year, but you know they're going to get a big test against Hawaii, who was the number one passing team last year in the NCAA, right out of the chute. And you know that's that's probably the worst way to baptize someone in the whole process of you know, their college career at cornerback. So you know I think you're going to have to do two things. You're going to have to simplify the defense, you know, really, really make sure that the safeties are playing over the top. And, you know, cornerbacks will tell you the best way to make their job easier is to get pressure on the quarterback. And you look at Chidera, you look at Casa, you look at Hartigan. If those guys don't get to the quarterback, it doesn't matter who's playing back there. We saw it last year with Jimmy Smith and Jaleel Brown, two big-time draft picks. Jimmy Smith went in the first round, Jaleel went in the third round. The Buffs had one of the worst pass defenses in the country last year. It wasn't because they were bad corners. It was because the games the Buffs lost, they averaged just over one sack a game. The game the Buffs won, they averaged over five a game. So it's simple as that. If you get pressure on the quarterback, I think everything will be fine. You know, I like the way Henderson plays. You know, I don't know much about, you know, the other side as well. I think there's a lot to learn on that side. But, hey, they're freshmen, they're inexperienced, there's going to be growing pains. But if the defense gets after the quarterback, I think we'll be fine.
You brought up a good point about Jimmy and Jaleel, and you kind of reminded me of a question I had about some of the defensive schemes. I think we all remember this summer we had, leading up to the NFL draft, we had, you know, the Lions site, and we had the Ravens SB Nation site talking to us about Jimmy Smith. And a lot of them pointed to that game against Georgia last season where they said, well, how did A.J. Green go off against a cornerback who's supposed to be this first-round pick? And any Buffalo fan who watched the game, they know the response was Jimmy Smith was barely, if at all, matched up on A.J. Green. He wasn't the one giving up those touchdowns, despite the fact that A.J. Green was one of the best receivers in D1 football last year. But are we going to see that? Obviously, we're going to see a different scheme. Do we expect that same kind of scheme going into next year? And if not, is it going to be more of a zone? Who's our number one quarterback? Because Henderson's obviously a guy that's much more athletic than Sandersfeld. Yeah. What do you see there?
You know, I think, you know, in terms of where the cornerbacks play, I think you're going to see this, you know, cornerbacks feel great on one side. They practice on one side. So you're going to see Henderson on the right side, Sandersfeld on the left side. And, you know, I think you're going to see a lot of zone this year. I think you're going to see a lot of safeties over the top. I think you're going to see a lot of linebackers flying out, playing in their drop areas to try to protect the flats on the cornerback position. So I think you're going to see a lot of zone. And, you know, and that comes back to the whole point. You play a zone defense and you let the quarterback sit back there, it's going to pick you apart. So, again, the scheme is going to help dictate a lot of what the cornerback does. And unless the front seven guys do their job, it's not going to matter. So, you know, I think the scheme will be pretty similar to last year. Hopefully they can be a little more aggressive with the, you know, I think there's a talented linebacking group in Rippey and Webb and Major who can make some plays on the blitz on the outside. And, you know, we're counting a lot on Hartigan to make some plays again. And, you know, he had some great games where he had multiple sack games, and, you know, we need more of that. So, you know, I think the scheme is what it is. A lot of zone, but, you know, I go back to it again. I think the defense needs to be aggressive up front.
All right. I know, and we may, you know, we write on the site, and you may think that writing on the site all the time is enough talk about the Buffs. But Bob and I, and some the other writers, Ash and David, and other Buffs fans, we know, you know, we email back and forth, and we chat back and forth about the season, just like everyone else does. It's unknown to all of us. But I know one of the things, when I go to practices and I see the offense and I kind of continue to read and think about who we've got, especially on offense and some of those starting positions. We've got talent this year. We've got some talent that we haven't had in a long time with Richardson and with Speedy and with an offensive line that I'm buying into right now. I'll admit it. And even Hanson, if he plays well. And I'll send Bob and others, I'll send him an email and say, you know what? We can be pretty damn good this year. We've got an offense that's going to be able to score points. And invariably, every time someone says yes, but what happens if someone gets hurt?
Yes.
That could be a big issue this year. You know, it's true. We do have a lot of talent, but there's a few positions where if we have injuries, we could be in a lot of trouble. We're going to have to really cross our fingers this year and hope that we can keep these guys healthy. It's something that every team deals with all the time, but because of the lack of depth this year, it's going to be a huge, huge issue for these Buffaloes. You look at wide receiver, you've got Paul on one side locked up. None of us are worried about his performance. On the other side, you've got Tony slash and Tyler McCullough. And Tony, just whether this is more of a kind of a ploy to get him to step his game up, which I don't think it is. I think that Tyler McCullough was that impressive over camp and throughout the camp, and I feel like he's going to get his snaps. But if Richardson goes down, we're looking at Cephalo or Logan Gray on the other side, basically making Tony either Tony Clemens or a true freshman our number one receiver. If you think that we're going to have a tight end heavy offense now, watch how tight end heavy it gets when if Paul Richardson goes down.
Exactly.
You look at the offensive line. We've got good talent at the starting positions. I think center's one of the only positions where I'd feel pretty darn comfortable if we had a starter go down. Any other positions on the line, we could be in a lot of trouble. And it's not just offense, too. You look at the difference in our secondary and our defense as a whole last year when we had Anthony Perkins go down, and then kind of what I like to call the great safety exodus of 2010 when we had, what was it, four in a row just go down week after week. So, I don't know how much else there is for us to do except cross our fingers and hope that no one gets hurt. And, you know, on top of that, we really still, if everyone stays healthy, we have to hope that these guys are still going to see the field. He's going to rotate guys when he needs to. And these guys, these younger guys, are really going to have to step up, and they're really going to have to do it in some cases maybe a year or two before they should really be expected to.
Yeah, and, you know, you could tell Embry was disappointed throughout fall about the twos and the threes and, you know, almost pleading with them, you know, begging them to perform. And, you know, you're exactly right. And, I worry a little bit less about the receiving core. Just, you know, I think you can find a playmaker here and there. I really worry about the offensive line. And then, you know, like you said, center's a little bit of a grab bag, and I don't know if I necessarily agree with the rotational center that they're going to deploy, but, you know, that's why they make the big bucks. But, you know, if you look at, you know, a guy like Ryan Miller going down or Jack Harris going down, and Jack Harris still has a lot to prove as well. I mean, he's the first year playing, at right tackle. You know, they're the lifeblood of the offense. And, you know, the good thing about the defensive line is there's a few guys who can play the interior, rotate those guys out to stay healthy. But, you know, there's not that luxury on the offensive line. You know, I hope they have a plan if someone goes down. But, and that's a benefit of inheriting a depleting, a falling program the last 2 years with poor recruiting classes. So, nothing against the players in the second and third team. I just don't think they're proven yet. And so until they prove themselves, I think there's cause for concern. And, you know, that, you know, now, you know, kind of moving into the new coaching staff, and, you know, that's...
Wait. You mean we're not going to hear any classic Dan Hawkins quotes this year?
No. And so, you know, this is one of those positive negative ones. You know, I think, you know, you look at a... You look at Embry and Bieniemy, you know, he'll look you straight in the eye and he'll answer the question. You know, he'll talk about what he wants, his goals. He'll place responsibility on himself and his coaches to do the job. And, you know, we sat down in that media room and, you know, he physically looked you in the eye, told you it's his responsibility, his coach's responsibility to do the job. And, you know, that was one of the more refreshing things I've heard from a coach at Colorado in a long time. And I think, you know, that responsibility, that desire, you can tell that desire on the football field when they coach. And so, you know, that's a positive to me. I think those players will rally around that. I think they recognize a change. And, you know, I'm not a, you know, tweeting and whatever the Facebook, but you can tell those players have a goal in mind when they talk, when they tweet, when they do whatever. They look at Hawaii and they say, time to change. We're preparing for Hawaii. Bring the bricks back. I think you know, he's leading them towards a goal, and I don't think you saw that in years past. You know, Paul Richardson excited about the Pac-12. I think there's an excitement about the program, and it starts with John Emery.